And good morning. Welcome back. Well, like I promised, we were going to talk about birds of prey. I talked about the Thunderbirds, and now it's on to the Osprey. And joining us is Captain Joel Lemasney. Good to have you here at Oshkosh.
Well, thanks for having us. Yeah. Appreciate it.
All right. And tell us a little bit about your role with the Osprey.
Yes, sir. Well, I'm a pilot. I've been flying the Osprey since 2007, ever since I graduated from Naval Flight School. I'm currently stationed at Jacksonville, North Carolina, with VMMT 204 as an instructor pilot in the Osprey.
All right. And you flew the demonstration a couple of days ago?
That's correct. Okay. Yes.
And are you flying today?
We are flying again today, both the day and the night show.
Oh, night show. Is that something that you do often with the Osprey?
I don't personally do it fairly often, but I do have fellow pilots, Captain Matt Cave, with us, who has done quite a few air shows.
Okay. So for those who are not familiar with the Osprey, this was originally called the Tilt Rotor, and it's been an aircraft that's been under development for quite a while, but really has come into its own in the last, probably about the last 10 years or so, really operationally. So how long have you been, you said since 2007 you've been flying it?
That's correct.
All right. So Yes. You've seen the evolution of the aircraft from that point.
I have watched it, you know, during the developmental phase. I was in, you know, roughly college age.
Right.
And then it went into operation in 2006. That's when it started deploying. So I joined in 2007. And since then, it has just done phenomenal things for the Marine Corps and the Air Force during its time in operations.
Right. And the crew of the airplane? How many are
on? Two pilots. And generally we fly with two crew chiefs as well.
Okay. And I understand that your thumb is very important in the flying of the aircraft.
Yes, we do. We do have a fourth flight control, and that's the nacelle wheel, and it's controlled by your left thumb as it sits on the TCL, basically the throttle.
Okay.
So it's a appendage that we like to keep from getting hurt.
That's a good thing. Describe the reasons that the Osprey was created. What's the mission roles that it serves?
Its basic mission is medium lift assault support, so getting troops into and out of hot LZs, for lack of a better term. It was developed after the Desert One crisis, the attempt to rescue the American hostages in Iran. After that attempt, the military realized that we needed an aircraft that was capable of taking off and landing like a helicopter, but had the speed and range of a turboprop aircraft. If we had had that at the time, a lot of people speculate that we could have accomplished that mission successfully.
Right. And if people remember, that was C-130s and regular Marine helicopters.
Correct.
That ended up in a bad place.
Yes, absolutely.
Really, that kind of propelled the genesis of the Osprey.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
So, with you flying that, do you have a rotary rating or a aircraft rating?
So, for those of us that go through, that's a good question. So, those of us that go through training for the Osprey, we go through both the multi-engine and helicopter syllabus. So, we get rated in both. But when we get on to fly the Osprey, and after we've accumulated enough hours, it's its own category.
Okay.
The military calls it tilt rotor. The FAA defines it as powered lift.
Okay. Which brings us to training. I mean, do you train aircraft first, helicopter first? Which way?
Currently, the pipeline is single engine first, then helicopter, and then multi-engine.
Okay.
For those coming straight out of flight school. Now, in addition, the Marine Corps selects both fixed wing and helicopter pilots to transition to the Osprey. So we have a good mix of experience in the Osprey community.
So if someone's looking at, you know, potentially flying that in the future, there are a number of different ways to get into the cockpit.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah. And for you, how did you decide on the Osprey?
Well, when I was in college, I was again reading about the developmental test, and I just thought, you know, of course, like everybody else, I realized that that it had some hiccups, but I also thought it was a phenomenal aircraft, cutting edge technology. I had already signed on to become a Marine pilot at that point. So when I went through flight school, going through primary, they had opened up a few slots, and so I volunteered for it.
Okay.
At that point.
Great. When we're watching the demo here at Oshkosh, you're sort of positioned down on the north end of the field, and it kind of takes a while to get you to transition back over and taxi up and get ready to go. So what's actually happening during that taxi portion of the demo?
During the taxi, we're just we've just finished our pre-takeoff checklist. So as we're taxiing, just slow taxiing forward, we're using our thumb to control the nacelle to modulate our taxi speed. That's most of what's going on right there is controlling air or ground speed with nacelle. It's got a power steering system that it'll turn on a dime. If you see us make a 180 on the taxiway, we can make that turn without going past Papa 2 here.
Right. And when you in normal operations, do you take off literally as it's kind of helicopter, but it's mostly helicopter and not aircraft? Is that a normal takeoff?
A normal takeoff is a vertical takeoff. Okay. However, if we're carrying a payload and we have runway or just even really a small concrete area to roll, we would prefer to roll to take off. It increases our gross weight by about, or our payload by about 10,000 pounds.
Okay. Is either one a favorite of yours over the other?
I prefer doing the rolling takeoff, okay. Again, because we can carry more payload that way.
Right. And with the demonstration that we see out here at Oshkosh and at other air shows, what are you showing off? I mean, obviously the capabilities, but really the I guess the magic of the Osprey.
Yes, we're showing off the ability to fly just like a helicopter. So when you see us doing the helicopter maneuvers, it's traditional swash plates, but then showing off the ability to transition to airplane mode and do airplane type maneuvers. So we'll do the vertical climb, we'll do the wing over at the top, again things that normally couldn't do in a helicopter. I think maybe the Red Bull helicopter is the
only
Chuck one
Aaron
can.
He's a different story,
but that's something totally different. So again, we're showing off both aspects of the aircraft.
Great. Have you been deployed with the Osprey?
I have. I've deployed twice with the 22nd Marine Expeditionary Unit aboard the USS Bataan, both in the Mediterranean and in the Middle Eastern area.
Good. What are the kind of the capabilities of the aircraft? Speed, range,
certainly.
Altitude?
So we can fly at about normal cruises between 220 and 240. Max airspeed's 280. It's got a service ceiling of 25,000 feet. And at our normal cruise, our range is about 600 to 700 nautical miles. But if we back it off to max endurance or max range, we can stretch that out to about 800 nautical miles.
Okay. And in-flight refueling or not?
Yes, absolutely. In-flight refueling. It's a requirement for all pilots to be air refuel qualified once they're aircraft commanders. Yes.
All right. And do you find that to be a difficult maneuver or just another walk in the park?
It's challenging. Air refueling is challenging, especially in this aircraft where if you, not that it's ever happened, but if you miss the bucket, you've got these gigantic prop rotors that could, do some damage. But generally, we have great instructors, air refueling instructors, and that's never happened yet. But it's a complicated maneuver. It's challenging, but it's a lot of fun, too.
Good, good. And the farthest that you've flown the aircraft in any one mission?
That's a great question. I've flown a 1,200 nautical mile mission with air refueling.
Right. So how long did that take?
It was about 5 hours.
Okay. All right. Not quite. I was talking to a couple of U2 pilots yesterday. They were talking about 11 and 12 hour missions.
Nothing like that.
Yeah. You're already down and having dinner by that time.
Correct.
All right. How many different shows do you appear at during the year?
That's a great question. I think Osprey is scheduled for 6 or 7 shows this year, and that gets tasked out to various squadrons within the Marine Corps.
Okay, how many squadrons have Ospreys?
We currently have 8 on the East Coast, and we're currently standing up more on the West Coast. I think right now it stands at about 5 Osprey squadrons. The CH-46, which the Osprey is replacing in the Marine Corps,
right,
is scheduled to be completely transitioned to the Osprey within the next 2 to 3 years.
Okay, so the CH-46 is you're now the replacement for that.
Correct.
All right, good. If you had some words of advice for young people who are either listening or on the ground as far as getting into the military service, what kind of advice could you give them?
Stay out of trouble, of course, first and foremost.
Right.
But keep in the books. Stay in the books. Go to college. Keep yourself in good moral and physical shape, and you'll be in good position to fly in the military.
Great. Are either of the Ospreys available for viewing here at Oshkosh?
Or? Yes.
Okay.
We do have a V-22 on static display over in Boeing Plaza, right, and we welcome you to come out and check it out. We'll be happy to answer any questions you have about this interesting machine.
And having been at air shows and public appearances before, any experiences that sort of stand out in your mind while you're talking about the airplane with people?
No one real particular instance that stands out. I do really, we're really honored by those that thank us for our service. There are a lot of veterans here that that thank us for our service, but of course they're the ones that left us the legacy, the good legacy, both for the Marine Corps and all armed services. So we really appreciate that, and that does move us a lot.
Great. Great. Well, Joel, we're pleased that you could spend some time with us today. And any final words about being an Osprey pilot that you'd like to share?
Just that it's a hoot to be able to take off and land, you know, in a soccer field, but at the same time fly at 240 knots.
All right. And we'll look for you this afternoon in the air show and again tonight in the night air show. Should be good. Do you have anything special planned for the night air show?
Well, I can't share it right now, okay. But we'll have some interesting lights on.
Okay, excellent. We'll look for that tonight. Again, we're pleased that you could spend some time with us today, and we'll look for you this afternoon and again this evening in the air show. And again, if you'd like to see the B-22 up close, it's on the Boeing Plaza. Go take a look and ask all the questions you can possibly think of about that very unique aircraft. And again, we'll see it this afternoon. That is going to wrap up our show, not only for today, but for the week. And boy, what a week it has been. Very, very quickly like to thank the Commemorative Air Force for sponsoring the show. With more than 11,000 members, CAF honors America's military aviation heritage through flight, exhibition, and remembrance. So again, that's our show for this year. We'll look forward to talking with more people of AirVenture next year. Until then, remember, the Oshkosh rules do apply. And again, thanks to the Commemorative Air Force for their support. From the stand, until AirVenture 2015, I'm Steve Buss, and this is EAA Radio.